All right, we ready to do this, Paul?
We are.
Halloween Horror Nights, baby.
We are back.
Yes.
We are back with Halloween Horror Nights news today. Welcome back to News from the Queue. I am Paul from Destination Geek, and I am joined by
Eddie from Eddietainment. And we know that you guys have heard the announcement, but today we're going to be breaking it down, giving you guys some of our insights on what impact this new property could potentially make, and maybe discuss just the event as a whole.
Boom. Quick interruption before we start talking about centers, or after we start talking about centers. I don't know. So in this episode, this, you can see we're wearing different clothes.
It's a different day.
different day, because since we recorded our episode talking about Sinners coming to Halloween Horror Nights officially, there has been a new speculation map released from Horror Night Nightmares on X and, you know, all sorts of social media. Everyone's spoken about it. For the most part, the speculation map is largely the same, but I just wanted to take 5 minutes from our conversation to talk about two potential adjustments to the speculation. One is that the scare zone in the streets of Hollywood appears to be themed to, or is that the streets of, yeah, Hollywood, appears to be themed to Cindy and the Undertaker. So, you know, this has not been officially announced yet. Everyone Undertaker. Kind of anticipates it's going to be, not Undertaker, Caretaker. Yeah.
I was like, I got excited, and then I was like, wait, that's not my icon.
Yeah, no, not the Undertaker, the Caretaker. So it does appear as if Cindy and the Undertaker, Caretaker. Wow, why do I keep saying that?
It's very easy to confuse.
Yeah, Caretaker. Now, this had already been kind of alluded to in these speculation maps as being an anniversary scare zone. Again, this is still just speculation, nothing officially announced. However, it does appear as if the theme of that scare zone may be more focused on those two characters, the Caretaker and Cindy, prior icons. Oh, Eddie, show off your shoes.
Yeah, so I just wanted to take a quick moment because this is a nice surprise to me. Paul's really good at keeping up with the speculation maps. I myself am not the best, so I told him he had to hold my hand through this conversation, but Caretaker is the second year that I actually went to the event. But he's my favorite icon. As you can see, I custom made some Vans with him holding the YouTube icon or my YouTube logo.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah, you just got me excited. Look, it better than my Starbucks coffee is you announcing that Caretaker is going to be coming to the event.
Yeah. Well, speculated, right? Speculated. Now, the other change to the speculation map, a little less exciting, but it also appears to be rumored as if Seek and Destroy maybe one of the original houses. Now, if you're not familiar with Seek and Destroy, it was featured a few years at Halloween Horror Nights as a scare zone. And so, you know, in that scare zone, it was like this, just, it was in the streets of New York City. It was like this dystopian New York City vibe where everyone was kind of the subject of, I'm trying to remember the controller. Right. So there were like the giant eye, you know, like the giant signs, the controller has you and stuff like that. And they were like futuristic costumes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So maybe one of the originals may have pivoted to be a Seek and Destroy themed house. Speculation. Right. So, but these are, you know, we've spoken about the speculation map in the past. Just wanted to touch base on the most recent potential updates to the speculation. Everything else appears to be largely the same.
You know what's interesting about this? Going back to, not because I love the Caretaker, but because you mentioned Cindy, HHN has had two kind of icons that have been rumored or talked about, slightly featured, but never made their like true impact due to events going on in the world, which we don't got to dive into that. But Cindy was one of them, and Eddie was one of them. Right?
Yeah.
Eddie never really had his year because things that were going on in the world, and Cindy never had her year because things that were going on in the world as well, right?
Yeah, but Eddie did have his scare zone, right, at HHN.
Eventually.
Yeah, 30, I think. Yeah, eventually.
Yeah. How many years past the original, like, Eddie year was that?
Yeah. No, a long time. To be fair, right? Eddie's kind of a crappy character. I like.
You stop that. All right. You stop it. The name alone makes him awesome, okay?
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, that's the update we wanted to bring to you, back to your regularly scheduled programming. And if you don't know what Eddie's talking about, little bit of a recap. Sinners, the Ryan Coogler directed movie starring Michael B. Jordan, Haley Steinfeld, and a bunch of other amazing actors. Academy Award winning horror movie Sinners will be coming to Halloween Horror Nights in 2026, both in Hollywood and in Orlando. They'll have a house featured at both events that will feature all of the iconic characters from the movie, like the Smokestack Twins and Cornbread and all the other characters in Club Juke facing off against Remick and his vampire horde. So we'll see, obviously, iconic scenes in the movie, recreations of scenes and characters and things like that. I would assume, you know, we'll get into some of the assumptions of what we'll see in the house, but, you know, with the blessing of the director, Ryan Coogler, he's part of the press release. He actually says, it's been incredible to see audiences connected with Sinners in a powerful way. Partnering with Halloween Horror Nights gives fans the chance to step even deeper into the world of the film, to feel the music, the atmosphere, and the tension all around them. Watching it come to life on this scale has been really special for all of us. So, you know, we have involvement from the filmmakers and the producers and all that stuff. So, Sinners, first major IP announcement for Halloween Horror Nights 2026.
Yes, yes. And as Paul said, this was a huge movie last year. I've watched it. Paul, you've watched it too, right?
I have, yeah.
I enjoyed it. I think the house is a great fit for the event, but the hype didn't match my experience. Good movie though.
Yeah, I think the movie's great. I mean, you know, I will say, I think the movie is all about the filmmaking and the acting. You know, Michael B. Jordan is excellent in it. Ryan Coogler, you know, is an amazing director. The score by Ludvig Göransson is amazing. You know, I mean, the filmmaking itself is just fantastic. The story itself, not terribly original. You know, it's very reminiscent of From Dusk Till Dawn, but doesn't matter. It's still a great film. I don't care. So I do think it lends itself well to Halloween Horror Nights.
It does.
You know, in that, you know, we've had similar. You know, this is dark. If you haven't seen the film, but you are familiar with Halloween Horror Nights, first of all, see the freaking film. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Second of all, if you took last year's, or maybe 2 years ago, The Darkest Deal. Smashed it up with From Dusk Till Dawn, you have Sinners. Yeah. So you've got a Prohibition era speakeasy, African-American speakeasy, that is under siege by, in this situation, an Irish vampire named Remick, who you know, is starting to bring other people into his fold, and they just have to survive the night. And so, you know, the first half of the movie, much like From Dusk Till Dawn, is mostly set up character interactions, you know, setting up for this party. The second half of the movie is all about surviving the night with this vampire horde, you know, under siege. It's got a lot. You heard me reference the music as part of the press release. Very, very key is music in the movie, because the whole point of the movie is that the power of music has the ability to transcend time and place, and to a certain extent, even attract supernatural elements if the music is powerful enough. And so that's what happens in this movie. There's this this prodigy who you know, it plays music in such a way that it transcends time and place. And what happens is, you know, the vampires become aware of this Club Juke through the power of music. And, you know, they just want to play some music and bring people into their horde. Like, you know, it's a very interesting movie, because the vampires, they just want to increase their numbers. They're not actually trying to kill people. I mean, they're dying, but like, they want to bring more into their numbers. And the whole point is, you know, like, you see the vampires, they're just loving undead life, you know, unlife, right? They're singing, they're dancing, you know, Irish jigs, you know, it's almost got this cult-like person, you know, feel to it. So they just want to increase their numbers, but obviously they're vampires. They're bad. You got to eat people. You got to bite people. Yeah. You got to suck blood. And that, so that was, you know, it's interesting.
That was an interesting element of this movie. The fact that the vampires weren't as evil as you think, because there was a scene where they're trying to convert one of the ladies to a vampire. I forget, is Smoke and Stack, right? That's the brother.
Smoke and Stack. Yeah.
So, and by the way, Michael B. Jordan did a great job twice in this movie because he plays two characters. But there was a scene where the brother that turned trying to turn one of the ladies that was a family member, and she says to kill me if I start to turn. They kill her, and you could actually see the vampires are like, no, you're messing things up. They wanted to convert her. They didn't want to kill her, which was a really interesting aspect of a horror vampire movie. The vampires kind of had a heart where they actually thought bringing everybody into their fold was the right way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a well-told movie, highly recommended. You know, one of the most nominated movie in Academy Awards history. It didn't win all of those nominations, but it won a number of nominations.
Four. I think it won four nominations, which is really high for a horror movie. Like I said, it's a good movie. It didn't live up to necessarily the hype, but I will give it its flowers. It did around 370 million worldwide. And I think it's also the highest grossing original idea horror movie, not by inflation. So if it were by inflation, it would be, I think, The Sixth Sense. I think The Sixth Sense would destroy it if you put inflation into play. But just off of gross, it's the highest grossing original idea horror movie, which is impressive. It's cool. But I think 370 million is what it made. And just for comparison's sake, if you took inflation into consideration, I think The Sixth Sense would have made something around 700 million. But it didn't make that much. I think it ended up making 200 or something like that. This is coming to the event. I'm excited for it, but one of the interesting things, give me your feedback on this. They haven't been actually able to use Michael B. Jordan's likeness in any of the merch or announcements. So I'm wondering how that's going to play with the actual characters in the house.
Yeah, I mean, we saw this with Us also. You know, we actually have seen this a number of times where the actor's likeness is not available necessarily for the advertising. I mean, we saw with Ghostbusters, right? You don't see the actors, the actual likeness of the actors in the Ghostbusters advertising. In general, you know, it's rare unless the actor's in makeup or some kind that you actually see the actor's likeness as part of the Halloween Horror Nights. And I think that's one, you know, likeness rights are either not, you know, granted by the actor, or two, it's just freaking expensive. So I think that's part of it too. And there's no need for it, frankly, because I think we will see Smoke and Stack represented in the house by, you know, by Halloween Horror Nights actors, you know, and they will, you know, they will cast people who look similar perhaps, but not necessarily, you know, but it's not like they'll be wearing masks or anything like that. You know, so I think we that's what we'll see is, we'll kind of see actors who represent Smoke and Stack in a way that those familiar with the film will know this is who we're looking at, but I think that's what we'll see.
Yeah, I guess from my perspective, and you're right. Now that I think about it in hindsight, the actors don't show up in marketing too often. But from a merch perspective, I think I would have liked to see a cool Michael B. Jordan shirt. The shirt does seem a little bit cool. I don't like the hat too much; looks too flimsy. But I guess I'll judge it when I see it in person.
I will also say, you know, when they announced Sinners this, you know, this past week, as at the time of this recording, there were people who flooded the store, the merchandise store, when it was released. And I'm like, but why? In a way that we've never seen before. And I would love your feedback. Do you think that the mass crowds stalking merchandise on day one was informed by scalpers? Or do you think this announcement was just that big that people wanted Sinner's merchandise? What do you think, Eddie?
I think it's absolutely scalpers. I don't think this announcement's that big.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, like, what is going on? Like, first, I mean, this didn't even happen when the Jack stuff came out.
Yeah.
You know, like,
if anything, I think that this is a great announcement, but for the first IP, it was a bit underwhelming. Just,
yeah, I would agree.
In my opinion, I think part of it is maybe that it's
an IP that's officially locked in. Of the IPs that are officially locked in, I feel like maybe it's the biggest one. Because, like, for me, the one you drop is Hellraiser.
Yeah,
I think if you want like a come out the gate hot, it's Hellraiser. But I don't know if that's officially locked in or not. You know, we've seen it, you know, from a speculation perspective. We've seen it come in and out of speculation. So I wonder if that's part of it. But yeah, because I was like, from an IP perspective, just to kind of remind you again, what we are speculating on is we've got Sinners, Ozzy Osbourne, Evil Dead, Stranger Things, and Hellraiser. Those are the five potential rumored IPs. I'm surprised that Sinners is the one they led with, but I think it's probably the strongest of the ones that maybe that are officially locked in.
Yeah, I feel like this happened last year as well. Everybody was expecting a different announcement, and they went, I forget what the first one was last year, but they just went with what they had locked in while they continued negotiating. That being said, going to like the house itself, it wasn't the one that I expected, but it was announced. How do you feel about the announcement style? Like, I'll give you my feedback first, and then I'll let you jump in. I think it was cool in the fact that it paid a little bit of homage to like previous years and how Jack was like the fortune teller and everything like that flipped the cards. But even that seemed very well put together, but not much to it, right?
Yeah, well, that was, you know, last year they had the whole, like, you were in someone's room and the TV was telling you what was going to be featured. So they had the theme last year for the announcement videos was that. This year's theme is, we've got this carnival video and you've got the tarot cards and one flips over and shows you the property that'll be featured. I like it. I feel like it's almost too subtle. But from their perspective, they can literally just, because if you, unlike last year, like last year's video, every video had the same theme, but they were different videos, right? It was a different room, a different TV, that kind of thing. This year, everything about the video is generic to the theme of the event, except the cards themselves.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if that's what we're going to see, is that like we're just literally going to see the exact same video, just different cards.
And I mentioned something to you and we haven't discussed it any further. So maybe since then you've heard something to explain this, but I found it interesting that there was only three cards, but we're expecting five intellectual properties. Any insight into why there was only three cards?
No, I think honestly, I don't know that the number of cards really makes a difference, because I don't think we're going to see a different card turnover every video. I think we'll honestly just see the same three cards and the same, because I think it's the middle card that turned over. I think the middle card will turn over every time. I don't think it'll be like the next video will be the right card and the other video will be the left card. I literally think it'll just be the same. I think it's just a generic three cards and the middle card will turn over every time showing the property. I could be wrong. Oh, we'll find out in the next announcement, but that would be, I feel like the number of cards is not indicative of the number of IPs.
If you're right, Paul, you may have just broken my heart. That seems like the most phone at home type of delivery for these announcements.
I could be wrong. We'll find out when the next announcement comes out, because if you're right that maybe they know they only have three IPs locked in, or maybe only three will have this, you know, maybe it'll be a little different. I guess we'll find out in the next video if a different tarot card turns over.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out. Hopefully soon. Hopefully sooner than it took between the last two announcements.
If I had to guess, it'll be sometime within the next 2 weeks. We'll get another announcement.
I know we're kind of running out of time. June's right around the corner, and this event starts firmly in August, at the end of August. So we'll see. But that being said, you know, all our assumptions and kind of perspective of the announcement, do you think that this house could be like an elite house?
Let me double check. I believe right now Sinners is, and I know I'm talking and not looking up, so I apologize, but I'm looking at the speculation now.
Because I believe house, right?
I believe Sinners is going to be one of the two new tent houses in the back. You know, they built those two tents for last year. I think it was Fallout and Galkin. You know, those two tents in the back of the park. Those are, at least speculatively, that's where Sinners will be. I think there's a lot of potential in those spaces. Those tent houses have a lot of room in them if it's done right, because Fallout was crap last year.
Yes, but it was.
Galkin was very visually impressive.
I liked Galkin, yeah.
And the Goblin's Feast the year before.
Yeah, Goblin's Feast was amazing. Those tents are basically, they use them and make it seem like you're inside of a soundstage. Yeah.
And I don't think Sinners needs a soundstage, because, you know, even watching the movie, it is all, you know, in the farmhouse, around the farmhouse, you know, it's not a visual spectacle. It's visually amazing, but it's from a set design perspective, you know, you've got most of it in one location. So I think you have the potential to be, to do a lot in that space without it necessarily having to be big and spectacular. So yeah. I think it's got potential in that space.
Yeah, and that was the next thing I was going to bring up to you. So I think the foundation story of Sinners definitely lends itself to a great haunted house. We've seen some vampire houses in the past do really well, but this particular movie is centered around one basic location the whole entire time.
Yeah.
That being said, they could go in and out of the building, and that could be kind of the perspectives that we're seeing.
Yeah, you can go in another building, you can go into different places in the building, because you've got the loft, you've got the main area, you've got the side rooms. And, you know, we've seen houses From Dusk Till Dawn, The Exorcist, the first one, not the second one. You know, we've seen houses represent one central location produced effectively before. I mean, hell, even Five Nights at Freddy's. In theory, that was one location. It was the front of the house and the back of the house at a Freddy Fazbear Pizza. So I think it's got potential, just, you know, different rooms and stuff like that.
That was such a great house, by the way, just aesthetically. Yeah. Five Nights. Yeah. That opening scene just reminded me of being at Chuck E. Cheese. Nostalgia. Mm-hmm. It was so good. But all right, I'm gonna bust this into a series of questions. I got five questions for us to round robin through. Viewers, listeners, let us know in the comments. Answer along with us. We'd love to hear your opinion as well. So the first question regarding this announcement for you, Paul, and I'll answer after you. We'll loop it. You answer first for the first one. I'll answer first for the second one, and we'll go back and forth. Horror Sinners, is it too new for Halloween Horror Nights?
No. I think Sinners... Now, I will say we are in a very weird place with Sinners, in that the movie was so prevalent last year, but now it's like that's last year's news. But I could be wrong, clearly, because of what, you know, like we're just talking about the swarm of people for the merchandise. So I could be wrong from that perspective. In my mind, it is neither too new or too old. It's right in the middle, which in my mind is not the best part. The place to be, but I could be wrong on that. So what about you? What do you think?
I'm with you. I don't think it's too new. If anything, Halloween Horror Nights can run off of the buzz, the awards. And this doesn't seem like, I could be wrong, but this doesn't seem like a sequel type of movie, right? There's not going to be a follow-up for it that's going to rebuild the hype down the road, so that when the new one comes out, we could do a house for the old one type of thing.
And certainly not in time for this, right? You know, so I think, so it's interesting timing for sure. But I get it, you know, like last year would have been ideal, but they didn't know it was going to, they have to negotiate this stuff ahead of time. And they just, I guess, didn't know that Sinners was going to be what it ended up being. All right. Yeah. Question one.
So next question, yes. Will casual guest get this and enjoy this? Is this the type of a property that without context lends itself to being good regardless? And I think fundamentally, yes, I think there's going to be a large portion of people, like you said, this kind of lends itself to like a Dusk Till Dawn type of movie. And I think there's going to be a large portion of people that are familiar with that, that can make context out of what they see without having seen the movie. That being said, like you said, if you haven't seen the movie, go check it out. There's something that a lot of us do called Halloween Horror Nights homework in advance of the event. If there's any intellectual properties coming out, we go ahead and we watch it. But I think without any context, this could still be a really good house. Fundamentally, it's a vampire story.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's the house itself is just like it's. I don't think people have a hard time really understanding the concept of houses at Halloween Horror Nights, whether they've seen the movie or not, right? I mean, it's a little different when it's based on a TV series and you're seeing recreations of a TV series, like American Horror Story, you know, where those threads don't really piece together unless you've seen American Horror Story. But this is a little bit different because, like, the story's not hard to get. It's vampires in a barn, you know, like, I think it's easy enough and even if you haven't seen the movie, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Okay. And so this kind of goes back to a question that I asked just a little while ago. But, you know, given that this wasn't necessarily the announcement that we wanted or expected from Halloween Horror Nights, it wasn't the big IP rollout that we wanted. Do you think that this could be the sleeper hit of the year? I feel like every single year we have. And I'll split it up because I think originals do their own thing and IPs do their own thing. From an IP perspective, do you think this could be like the sleeper hit of the IPs this year?
Could be. I actually think the sleeper hit of the IPs, you know, that I mentioned earlier. So just to remind you, speculation. We don't know. This is just speculation. But to remind you of the five speculated IPs, Stranger Things, Ozzy Osbourne, Evil Dead Burn, Hellraiser, and Sinners. I don't think Hellraiser is a sleeper because I think, you know, that like people are expecting that to be good. I think the sleeper could be Evil Dead.
Interesting. So
I think that has the potential to be the sleeper.
Just to throw a curveball in there, I think this will be the last year of Stranger Things. So I think they may go all out for Stranger Things and that Netflix partnership. So that continues to grow. So I think
you could be right. But maybe we'll get the Burrows next year because that's apparently the Burrows is pretty good. I have to check that one out.
Yeah,
that's the new show from the producers of Stranger Things.
What's it called?
The Burrows.
The Burrows. Interesting.
Yeah, just recently came out on Netflix from the creators of Stranger Things.
You know, I'm always kind of like, when somebody has a big hit and they try to follow it up. I feel like it almost always leads to not as great. And not to throw shades, some people will disagree with me here, but I think Jordan Peele's a perfect example. Get Out, and then I think his follow-up was way overhyped and nowhere near as good.
Yeah, I agree. I liked Us. I liked Us up until like the last 20 minutes. It loses me at the last 20 minutes.
Yeah, and then his follow-up to that, what was that one?
Nope.
Nope. Yeah. That one's a big nope for me.
See, I like nope. I like nope.
So yeah, maybe that ends up being a good one. But I think regardless, they're trying to hone into that Netflix partnership. So I think
Stranger Things
can be the sleeper hit. Next question: does this signal like a leaning into like the bigger elevated horror? So like we've seen the past couple years. They've brought, you know, The Last of Us and other big properties that are really relevant. Now they're adding one that's like critically acclaimed. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's got potential. I think the thing about critically acclaimed horror films is that, unlike Sinners, most critically acclaimed horror is not conducive to Halloween Horror Nights, right? What I mean by that is, you know, right now in theaters, there's a new movie called Obsession that's getting rave reviews. It may be the first movie to make $100 million on a $1 million budget. It is literally in its second weekend doing 25% more than it did in its first weekend, which is unheard of, just wow, from positive word of mouth. But much like many A24 movies, whether it's The Witch or Hereditary or, you know, films like that, I don't think they lend themselves well to being represented as a Halloween Horror Nights film. I don't think most elevated horror does represent well as Halloween Horror Nights. I think big budget horror does, and I think that's the difference.
Paul, you couldn't see Midsommar at a Halloween Horror Nights?
Right? We technically did as a scare zone, right? That one Viking scare zone was very Midsommar-y. But yeah, I actually like Midsommar, the movie. But I do think, you know, a most elevated horror is just a little too subtle or slow burn, or just, you know, it's horror in normal things. Like, you know, you've got this upcoming movie, The Backrooms. Like, you know, I think the difference is that Sinners is this interesting combination of elevated horror and big budget horror. And so I think, you know, to your point with The Last of Us and stuff like that, I think we'll always see big budget horror represented at Halloween Horror Nights. I think elevated horror, which is just a fancy, you know, way of saying like fancy independent horror, like It Follows. I love that movie. And there's,
a sequel coming out, right?
They Follow. But yeah, like, the whole point is that you can't see it. So yeah, like, you know, stuff like that, I just don't think represents well at Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah, It Follows is like the oddest concept delivered in the best possible way.
Yeah, agreed.
Oh, man. And not to get too off topic, have you ever watched the House is October Built?
Yeah, I have.
That's such a good movie.
Actually,
too,
if you're watching this podcast, The House is October Built, one and two. Two's a little overlong. But they are right up your alley. It's about these group of people who go to haunted events that are real haunted events throughout the country.
Yeah.
You know,
but you need a special invite to see them.
Yeah.
You can't just go to them. You need a special invite with like coordinates and whatnot to find
them. One just gets a little too real for them. But it's definitely worth checking out if you're a fan of haunts and things like that. Because I will say there are a number of films, including one called Haunt, and then you've got Hellfest, which is a little bit of a guilty pleasure for me. Yeah. But most films that are like literally the theme of like, we went to a haunted house and it was a little too real for us, you know, but people were actually dying, are crappy movies. But
how about Hell House LLC?
Hell House LLC, the first one, is the cream of the crop, though.
Yeah.
I will say the first Hell House LLC is definitely the cream of the crop. And I think the fourth one, The Carmichael Legacy, I think, was what it was called. That one was good, too.
Yeah. Yeah. But not to get too off track. So, that was the five questions. I think that was pretty fun. Yeah. That was five. That was pretty fun.
So what about you? We want your answers to those five questions.
Yeah.
Leave us a comment down below with what your thoughts were, you know, to those five questions. You know, what do you think is going to be the sleeper IP hit of 2026 at Halloween Horror Nights? You know, do you think elevated horror could be represented? And if you do, what elevated horror is on your mind when you say this would make a good Halloween Horror Nights house? Because you know, every new horror movie that comes out, they're like, oh, this would be great at HHN. But like, what specifically do you think is not niche, so niche that no one's ever heard of it, but you know, worthy of being represented at Halloween Horror Nights that hasn't been yet?
Yeah. And the next thing I kind of want to lead us into, which I think is going to lead us into something fun, I can't wait to ask you this question. But we're now going to go through like things to watch for and like kind of the speculation. So as far as Sinners go, we're going to be at a juke joint. So facade possibilities is something big that I'm excited for this particular house. What's that going to end up looking like? Obviously, we have that big barn, which is more than likely going to be utilized in some form or fashion.
I think that's what we're going to see. I think that's the facade inside. I think the outside of the tent will literally just be a giant poster of the movie. I think inside the tent we'll see the barn that we enter.
And this just came into my mind, but visualize it with me right here, Paul. And viewers and listeners, close your eyes and visualize this with me. What if they reversed the facade, right? And the outside facade is actually the inside, and they actually put like a live band that just cycles through some of the music, and you enter the outside scene of the barn.
Hey, that'd be cool. That would be cool. I would like to, you know, and I think, you know, I think the tents is a little hard to do that. I think where that would have been effective, more effective, is in the old parade building. You know, where, you know, the old parade building, like where they had Ash versus Evil Dead and the Ooh. Universal Monster. That was the one. Yeah. You know, we had some houses up there. But, you know, that back area lends itself to, like, literally you could have an elevated stage with a band playing. I don't know that that would work because these two houses are just so close together, just right next to each other. But, you know, and it's just still a giant tent. You know, like the outside is pretty hard to theme. But that being said, it would be cool. I do think
that just randomly came to mind.
I do think that there's, they won't, I doubt that they would do it, but I do think this has the potential for like live bands, you know, representing the type of music that we hear in the movie, you know, folk music, you know, that kind of thing has the potential to be something that they could introduce there.
So next thing is the scare actor makeup. Now, obviously, for the people that will be playing the main characters, not much makeup is needed, right? But for those playing the vampires, I'm excited to see how they pull it off. The vampires in this movie aren't like extraordinary vampires for the most part. They're very humanoid-like, right? They just look like people with a little bit of like atrophy in their face and, you know, the like pronounced like teeth, but I remember the aspect of their eyes and like kind of like the look and glare in their eyes, how they could pull that off in the house. I'd be excited to see how they do that.
I think we'll see more subtle makeup for this one. Like you said, the vampires are not like, I mean, they do have more pronounced features, but they're not like, they're not Nosferatu type vampires. They're more humanoid vampires. So yeah, I think, I think where these scares will come from are in the sound effects, the good acting, that kind of thing. Not a lot of creature design necessarily for this one.
And this next one, it created a question for me, which is the one that I'm excited to ask you about, right?
Okay.
But it's the smells, the effects, and like the music that we'll be experiencing, right? So we got old wood, blues music that could be insanely like inspirational and super cool inside of there. But then we'll have like smoke because of the fire and all that fun stuff, but liquor, right? Think outside of the haunted house. No, well, what could be the offering this year for a drink for sinners?
Good question. And I know they had a cocktail. They had something with whiskey in it, because I do remember in the movie, wasn't that a whole point that they had like bottles of whiskey on the back of their car, in the back of their car or something, that they had smuggled in?
I know he introduced beer. Okay. He had like that really nice beer, which is how he convinced the blues guy to come play for him, because he was going to pay him.
Beer. It was beer. So yeah, I mean, I guess you can have beer. So here's the one thing that I feel actually has potential. I don't think it'll happen. I think there's a cool idea. The movie is literally based around a speakeasy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't play with my emotions here, man.
I feel like there's an opportunity somehow to have a speakeasy. Now, I've seen speakeasies within the confines of haunted houses. You see them at 13th floor. There's a local haunt around here that does them. Like literally speakeasies within the house that you have to get special extra tickets to get into. I think Halloween Horror Nights, I think it's too difficult to have a speakeasy within the house just because of the crowds and the sales of things. But I do think there are areas in that park that could be themed speakeasies to go in line with the center's stuff. So I think I would love to see that somehow.
Yeah. What if HHN Bar because I think the limitation to a speakeasy at a Halloween Horror Nights is the crowds, right? Yeah. There's way too many people there. So they would have to kind of think through an open air speakeasy, right? So how could they make something that's you know, very accessible, very open, speakeasy-esque is what I think would have to be their solution. But oh man, if they were actually able to do a speakeasy, like legitimate speakeasy, I'd be so excited. But the only time I've ever seen Universal do a speakeasy is during like the limited capacity events, like Orlando Informer. I've never seen them do it outside of that.
They have a speakeasy in City Walk now. I think it's above Pat O'Brien's, maybe. It's like there is a speakeasy in City Walk.
I think I saw some advertisement for it, but that's brand new, right? And probably limited time.
Yeah. It's called 600 Block, the 600 Block Speakeasy. It's not that secret because there's literally an article about it, and it's New Orleans themed. But, you know, in theory, you could theme that to Sinners for the, you know, during the duration of Halloween Horror Nights.
Oh, yeah. Do something outside of.
Yeah. Like you've got a club, you've got the Red and Coconut, you know, the Red Coconut Club, you know, you could have. You could have that themed in. You could have the speakeasy themed. Just bring it out to a couple different places.
Or hit up my boys over at Busch Gardens Williamsburg Halloween Horror Nights and get them to bring Burgermeisters.
Burgermeisters, Hideaway. There you go.
Yeah. I think that might happen. Yeah. But that kind of rounds it out on my end in my notes. Yeah. Paul, what do you think?
No, I'm excited. I think, like we said, Sinners is not the biggest first IP announcement that they could have made, but as the crowds for the merchandise show, people are interested in it, or at least scalpers are. But what about you? What are you guys interested in Sinners? What do you hope to see represented in the house this year? Leave us a comment down below with your thoughts. Let us know what other Halloween Horror Night stuff you'd like to hear us talk about on this podcast. We will have, and if you have any questions, you can see behind Eddie. You got to say something, Eddie.
Oh yeah, sorry. I always forget about that. We got our blinky cups. We're going to be doing, I think, Paul, we have to use our social media to get some of the questionnaires out so that we could get the engagement, but we want to do a blinky cup segment. As you can see, the blinky cup is going. It's kind of hard to see, so I have to flip it like that. But we want to do a blinky cup segment so that we make it a little bit fun. Today we did like the five kind of questions that you guys can engage in as well. But these could be in advance. Let us know, and we'll answer your questions during an episode of Halloween Horror Nights on the podcast while drinking a beverage in our blinky cups.
Yes, exactly. So leave us a question that you want to hear answered on an upcoming Blinky Cup segment in the comments down below, or you can hit us up on social media, either Destination Geek HQ on Instagram or Edutainment1 on Instagram as well, or, you know, any social media that you guys follow us on. And while you're doing all that stuff, make sure to hit the subscribe button and notification bell. Speculation season has just begun. More to come in the coming 2 months. We are literally, as of this recording, only 3 months away from Halloween Horror Nights. Wow. So much to come. We have to talk about the house announcements. We have to talk about the food, the drinks, the scare zones, the themes, all the merchandise. There is a lot coming. So make sure you stick around for all that stuff and interact with us. You know, we want your thoughts. We want to bring you into this conversation with us. So definitely leave us a comment down below.
And get excited with us, because we'll be bringing you guys the earliest sneak peeks into the event. We're going to Premium Screams. I believe you're going to Premium Screams as well, right? Yeah, we'll both be at Premium Screams. So we'll have the early content and early feedback to help you guys make the most of your experience when you decide to go to Halloween Horror Nights.
Thank you, everyone, for watching. We'll see you next time.
Deuces.